This is Winfrey. This is another night. Another Saturday night, as Cat Stevens used to say, except you have somebody to talk to, which is the Don and Win Show. And my co-host, Don, you want to say hello to everybody, Don?
Well, hello, everyone. It's good to be back with you on the Don and Win Show. It's always exciting here. And
it
it's exciting. Absolutely. And it's exciting to be back.
What's exciting? You can't make a comment like
well,
that.
Well, imagine if you... when you work around so many strong personalities, that's exciting.
Now, you mean of your hosts, right?
Sure.
I hear that...
it's fun to get up every day and engage. Absolutely.
You're putting together the BBS's first product, a calendar of your 12 most good-looking male hosts, right?
Well, exactly. We thought of you, and, you know, instantly the idea popped into my head.
Now they're going to wear their underwear? I mean,
the men of BBS. The men of BBS.
Yeah.
And we're going to get you in some sort of a flower bikini or something.
No, I'm going to decline from this calendar. It's too irreverent for me, but I certainly support it. Thank you.
We've actually got eight of the guy hosts agreeing to be on the calendar. Now, granted, I don't know what that means. I mean, is it going to be a great calendar? I mean, I don't know. probably won't be one you put on your fridge. But
probably put it in the basement.
Yeah, well, it's going to at least give you the dates of the month, and that's it.
So who is your host that's most excited about being on the calendar?
You know, that's a good question.
Who's the most vain host you've got?
Oh, wow. You really want me to answer that? That's tough. I think it's not... Well, maybe it is. Vanity and ego, are they the same thing?
No, they're different. Ego,
well, then,
vanity has to do with your physical appearance.
Okay. I don't think there very many of them are vain.
No.
No.
But some of them have egos.
Well, they're larger than life, aren't they? I mean, take a look at the lineup.
You know, an ego isn't necessarily a bad thing. If a person,
exactly.
You know, I think that when you think you're special and no one else is, that's where ego's kind of a negative. But in a sense, everyone is special. And if somebody is willing to go on and put their voice on the air every week, they need to have enough self-identity to and believe they have something worthwhile to say. Hopefully they do. And, you know, to do that. So, I don't know, if somebody wants to call that ego, they could. But I don't think that's ego in a negative sense.
Yeah, see, people put ego and negativity in the same ball game. And really, they're in a different ball game, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's almost like your lower chakras. You need them. They're a part of you, but you don't need to live based on their instinctual habits or innate instinctual responses. You can transcend that. So, same thing here. Sorry. Every phone's going off around here, folks.
We have people wanting to call
us. Run for cover. You know, I love some of the posts on the TNT board. If you guys aren't reading those posts by now, you really should be. Trusted News Trader, I mean, if you want great news at an affordable price, which is zero, then head on over there. Check it out. Make a post or two. You're going to love the news. Don't go into the fear of it all, because really it's meant to be quite humorous. Most of the stuff you're going to find is really a psyop for your brain, for your mind.
Hey, so you're putting together a new section of your website where you're going to bring through alternative news, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And you've got 80 reporters.
Well, we'll start out with probably about 40, 50 reporters that are specialists in their field. And we'll slowly increase that to thousands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And these people will be specialists or masters or comfortable, knowledgeable, experienced in their particular arena.
Mm-hmm.
And they will report on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Listen, we got a really cool guest today. You know, last week we did our show from the UFO convention in San Jose.
All right.
You were having
a very good time there. Do you remember that blonde you met?
Michelle.
Yeah, I remember her, and I wasn't even there. Wow, what a knockout.
I have her card.
Oh, you got her number. Was that a smooth way of saying you got her number?
How do you know she's a knockout?
How do I know?
Yeah.
Oh boy, you know, I mean, didn't you hear her voice?
She was like working for a publishing company.
Yeah.
Beyond words.
Is she is a knockout, isn't she? Just stunning.
She's very cute. But
yeah,
know,
well,
working,
you,
she I, was, they may be publishing. I don't know if I should say this.
You said that last week, though. I mean, you told me that.
No. But that's not what I was going to say.
Oh.
They were like, they were actually thinking of publishing one of your host's books. But I don't think I should say who it is and let it, you know.
Let the cat out of the bag, huh?
Let it, you know, germinate, incubate, and see what happens. I don't want to put any energy on it, but they were having dinner with one of your hosts, and they were very excited about his books. So that was exciting. So we have a guest tonight who I met there, and interestingly enough, I had met him probably a year earlier when I was cold calling people, and I said, you know, people that are going to be interested in what I'm doing might be interested that have people who have conscious communities. So I think I Googled the word conscious communities, and I spoke to this fellow for about 45 minutes.
Right.
And then he came by my little table, and we talked for another hour, and then I went down to his house on the way back from San Francisco back to L.A., and he lives in the Santa Cruz Mountains.
I love the name. I love the name.
And his name is Tara Singh.
Tara Singh. You mean he actually developed something called conscious communities?
Now, you know,
I love that because, wow.
If you have the name Singh as a last name, that means something, and that means you are what's called a Sikh. And a Sikh is a kind of spiritual sect, and he might correct me, but this is how I understand it, that was founded by Yogi Bhajan, or a division of Sikhs. There may be others that are not under his auspices. And Yogi Bhajan was a guy that was here in the 60s and, you know, took a lot of, like, what I would say would be conscious people who were hippies in that period of time. And they ended up...
You know,
up
consciousness moves, you know. I mean, when you're sleeping and you're on the other side or dreaming, that's conscious.
Right.
And the rest is unconscious. So it's kind of interesting that you choose that analogy.
So one of the things is the people that were hippies could keep their beards and their long hair because Sikhs tend to have beards and long hair and turbans. But more than that, they follow a pretty rigorous spiritual discipline using various, I guess, tones and mantras to lift their energy.
Now that's so the name comes from where? India?
India, I believe.
Right, and it would be an East Indian, and I mean, you're talking about, because I'm just trying to visualize it here with the turbans, they're quite strict about that.
We're talking about him, and he's listening, so he's probably I want to clown.
I mean, he's in the background right now.
So he's in the background. So
thank you. Before I put my foot in my mouth.
but the most interesting thing about Tara. Well, there's a lot of interesting things about him, but one of the interesting things is that he had this concept of putting together conscious communities. And you know, a lot of people today are aware that maybe the cities are not a good place to live, and that they may be even a worse place to live in the next few years, and that, you know, it would be great to live on the land and to grow food and to be off the grid and have electricity. And Tara himself has done that for himself. And, you know, I think he's done it for other people, although we never got in our conversation. I know he's putting himself out to do that for other people and to coordinate people who can buy land, people that want to live on the land and
be part
of that community.
Yeah. So, a cooperative, in other words.
Yeah, a cooperative. Kind of like, maybe like a Israeli kibbutz of sorts, you know? But maybe without any nationalism or religion or politics, but just that here's a safe place to live and grow with a community that, with a community of people that are spiritually,
you're distracted, oriented. Aren't you?
Huh?
Are you distracted by your secretary again?
No, I'm not distracted by that. I don't have a secretary there.
Oh, okay.
Tara, are you with us? I hope you're here now.
No, I'm here.
Now, okay. Now, all the stuff I said about you, you want to correct anything? Did I say it pretty fairly accurately?
Actually, the Sikh teaching started 500 years ago, so it's a little bit older than Yogi Bhajan. But, I live at a place called Dharma Ridge. It's 100 acres in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and we have just an incredible community of people here. Everyone seems to be a professional by trade in some sense, and we have a lot of great visitors also.
Did you build this community? Are you the founder? Were you the founder of this community?
Right. I started it. I bought the property about...
How many people? I'm just curious. I'm sorry.
It varies. You know, there's six of us right now.
Okay.
At 14, up to 14 living here. And everyone that lives here has their own unique spiritual practice, meditation, and... we get up early in the morning and make our connection with the cosmos, with the universe, with our self.
I love that.
And, it's really beautiful. And I think that the beautiful thing is that everyone really comes to the table in such an honest and pure way that there's an extraordinary consciousness that comes to us. And maybe we might even say we're attracting, you know, great teachers and devas and spirits that
the light
are really enhanced.
Wow, the light and energy that must surround that place just because of what you're putting into it must be fantastic.
Well, I would say, you know, the land itself, even without people, is really sanctified. It's like here. He's like probably 12 miles from the city of Santa Cruz, and it's up on the mountains.
I absolutely love what he's doing. I'm stunned that somebody's actually going out and doing something that I had always loved to do.
And you can see the ocean from his property, and it's
beautiful.
A lot of it is just undeveloped. It's just, you know, trees and it's like being in a forest.
Yeah.
But they're growing food there, and he's got these huge
Well, Tara, tell us about your journey, how it all began.
Well, I think one of the teachers in my life mentioned in a talk one time that what we want to do with our life is to cause the cause that has the most positive and powerful effect. With that added to my meditation, my intention has always been to do that, to eat the right foods, to, you know, spend time with the right people, to, you know, have a conscious business and so on and so forth. So that's really the seed of thought that I live with and that we're sharing in this community. And the inspiration came, you know, a long time ago, about 2:30 in the morning, wired on coffee from teaching a yoga class. And, I saw the vision of the property, and then years later, the property showed up, and then I began the efforts of purchasing it. And I'm a real estate agent by profession, so my business is called Real Estate Sanctuaries. And so I...
Oh, you mixed your pleasure, what you love, and your whole dream, and you mixed it all into one. I love... Wow, extraordinary.
Well, you know, it's about living your passion. You know, I used to think that making money needed to be painful. In order to get paid, I needed to associate pain with it. And then I realized that I needed to associate a higher passion and that I needed to do things that were in harmony with spirit so I wasn't in duality. So my life changed when I went through that. So everything that I'm doing, that I'm choosing to do and living, is really associated with my inner passion for consciousness and a greater community.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
So when you got the property, how long Did you bought it with the intent of making a community there, yes?
Right. Well, that's why we originally named it Dharma Ridge. And Dharma is one of those magical words that really means that it's an action word. It really implies all those things, the actions that you take to bring you to your highest consciousness or your highest destiny or to the truth in life. So that's really what the word Dharma is. And since we have a view here, one of the things that we feel is important that a person not only has a vision of the highest truth or their destiny, but they become empowered and they learn how to live Dharma or take those actions that...
Would Dharma be considered love? Because I almost find the same exact definition. If I were to give love a definition, I'd almost give it that. I would almost... Do you know what I mean? Is Dharma love? Is that what you mean?
Dharma love's good, you know. There's a word called permaculture, and that's a word that's really about farming, and someone came up and was at Dharma Ridge and saw what we were doing with the living your vision, and they...
Sure.
Dharma culture.
Yeah, because love is a responsible energy.
Love.
Is it not?
I don't think Dharma and love mean the same thing.
Well, no, maybe not, but I know the old sayings of
Dharma. I'll tell you the way that I remember the word Dharma and how it's, you know, the definition of it.
Love and karma?
It would be, for example, you are... Dharma relates to your work, I think. In other words, your work path. Your Dharma is to do a internet radio network. My Dharma is to do what I do, to communicate with interdimensional beings, to play music.
So it means your path. It means your...
It's like your path.
Okay.
So
at least as far as your working path.
Yeah, yeah. Am I correct on that, Tara?
Right, and you include love. I mean, you have to do your... You have to live Dharma, and of course, with compassion.
Yeah, I mean...
Loving karma. I mean, you're going to be here, and you're going to constantly be met with those pieces of yourself that you need to either let go of or work with, transmute, unite with right away, right?
Right.
Same thing, no?
At Dharma Ridge, one of the things that we recognize and we share in the circle in the community that we have is that every person has many, many destinies, and one destiny is their highest destiny.
You know, I was going to ask that. Thank you. In your group, your conscious group, do you do a lot of prayer work, more meditation, more outdoor? Do you do activities together? Give me just a synopsis of a few days.
Well, we do. We play. We listen to music. We're always... I mean, I think the dinner table and meetings that we have, we share what's new in the world, in the community, and there's this beautiful open door for good music and good entertainment. We when we find a problem in the world, we do focus on it. Our intentions are really to put everything in circle and to approach everything consciously. It's a very loving and inspired group of people. It's hard to describe. It's an awesome experience to live together.
I feel it. I must say I thank you, because I actually believe you're speaking exactly the truth as you understand it, and I really feel it. And, I just am so happy there are communities and people that are coming together in such a way. That, to me, shows exactly what I believe is happening in the new age, where, you know...
There's a class that I'm inspired, that I teach, called Life Vision Empowerment, and it's really tied in with Dharma Ridge, because that's what we're doing. And there's also a project that we have, it's an empowerment cafe that we're hoping to open if we can bring the right people in. It's on a website.
Hey, Empowerment Cafe, playing the BBS nightly tunes.
There you go. It can be read about on a website called Sustainable Exchange. We have quite a few different websites that are outreaches into the community. SustainableNetwork.tv is one of them, and quite a few other ones.
Sure.
They're really putting the inspiration and the vision that
you have. 24-hour music station that people can just click on?
Sure. We have Vajra Sounds, which is another VajraSounds.tv.
Well, think about including BBS Radio as a 24-hour music station. You'll get 24-hour music.
I think it'll happen.
Excellent. Thank you. I mean, I just love the music. In fact, I was even talking to an industry partner that if they took about 28.256 minutes exactly of listening to our music, it's like an opiate. You'd be hooked.
Great.
And listening to our music is fabulous. We have some fabulous artists. And I'll be actually, folks, stick around, because at the end of the evening, you're going to hear probably 20 new tracks. And I do this most Saturdays, except while I was gone last week. But usually Saturdays, after the shows have ended, we post the new tracks. You're going to love them. I mean, they are sensational, folks. So you don't want to miss that. Anyways, music...
You know, Don, I should just clarify to Tara, because he's not so aware of
it. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was running right over you, Tara. I apologize.
Yeah. Well, no, he doesn't know. He doesn't really know what BBS Radio is. So, Tara.
Oh, thanks a lot, Wynn.
Don started BBS Radio, I guess, a couple years ago, and his idea, which is keeps evolving.
3 years ago, it really all began. Yeah.
Is to bring. He's got like 80. He's got two talk shows going on simultaneously, people of spiritual groups, people of health, whatever, that people that have something to offer the public. So he's got two talk shows going on, then he's got a music station going on, and then he's got another talk show, but it's not live, it's taped. So he's got four channels of things that people can choose from on a site. You know, probably 10 hours a day. Is that right, Don? 10 hours a day?
No, 24-hour streams. I mean,
the talk shows aren't going on.
Oh, yeah, talk shows are usually up around, I would say, 10 a.m. to 10:30 p.m.
Yeah.
Monday through Sunday.
And the Donna Wynn show started. Somebody had referred me to Don when he was first starting.
Now, I'm going to be back with both of you in the next short little bit. I just need to check some. Can you take over?
You're not going to the boys' room, are you?
No. But I will be back in a few moments. Folks, you have Wynn. He's in charge. He's the guru.
So now Donna's going to drop the energy. He's going to come back. We won't know where he is, but we'll let him apologize and do it, okay? All right, Don. So, Tara, it's you and me. Now I got to figure out what I'm going to say. I think it's very interesting to have somebody like yourself who is very independent thinking, very, how can I say it, out of the box, who has become extremely successful, apparently. And when you were younger, did you go through a period of hardship or a trial? And then, you know, how did you move from, assuming that was, you did go through that, how did you move from that into being successful?
Well, I've been inspired, I think, all my life. And I've been pretty much following my passion and discovering what that means. And, you know, you take 10 steps forward, and sometimes you take a couple steps back, and you regroup. But out of that, I've learned to find a trail, a path, some resonance of truth that was true to my being, and pursued it. And, mm-hmm. You know, there's always challenges in the world that say, don't do this, and all the peer pressure that tell you that everyone here is marching to this drummer, and I recognize that, but I really found that, you know, when you listen to yourself, it's the absolute uniqueness of that's the path that I wanted to walk. So I devoted myself to meditation at an early age and the practice of yoga, and it's just taken me.
Is this before you met Yogi Bhajan?
Before I met him, I was already on a spiritual path, and when I was introduced to Yogi Bhajan and the teachings of the Sikhs, I found incredible. It's like going home. I found a resonance that was just...
Mm-hmm. Where were you living when you first got exposed?
I was born in Illinois, and I left home when I was 16. Mm-hmm. And I bought my first house when I was 19, and have been pretty much independent, you know, my whole life.
Wow, so you hit the ground running. I mean, you just...
Yeah. I've been inspired for a long time, and I've been just...
Yeah.
overly inspired, in fact, sometimes I feel like.
Overly inspired.
Overly inspired, yeah. I'm trying to... I don't need any more visions.
I don't know if you can be overly inspired, but I understand what you mean, because it kind of like you have so many things to do, and then you get constipated because you realize, you know, you only got a certain size outlet
right.
to make
well,
them.
What I realize is that when you lay out on the table all the inspiration that you have in your life, there's a time and a season for everything, and some inspiration that you have might take 5 years or 10 years or 3 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, acknowledging that the inspiration you have is unique to you is, I think, probably the first step, and then to understand, you know, that there is a time and place for it. And in the process of following your passion, there's some magical serendipitousness that comes to life where you make connections with like-minded people, and you realize there's a whole group of people sharing you know, the same passion on different levels, and you can unite with them, and you realize that maybe some ideas, some visions that you have, some of your inspiration, there's four more people that are sharing it, and when you connect with them, it's easy to do. It's not a burden.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the beauty of it. And it's worked for me, and I, you know, the Life Vision Empowerment class that I teach, there's something that's really unique about that, and if a person understands that they, anything about reincarnation, this Life Vision Empowerment, we go back to the point where you've just completed your past life and you're in this moment of truth with your creator, with the life force, mm-hmm. and you're at the point where you're choosing this life, and we acknowledge that in that moment of truth that you understand that your highest destiny, you have the vision of your completion in this life. And
mm-hmm.
of course, you wake up and you're a boy or a girl and you're a teenager and, you know, you're buying a house and you're losing a job and so on and so forth, and then you're listening to the show right now. But there is that thread of the highest destiny, and what we do with Life Vision Empowerment is we resonate once again with that through mantra and meditation and breath work, mm-hmm. and that becomes alive. And what happens in the process is all of your discomforts, all the pain and the joy that's brought you to this point, there's a new acceptance of who you are in this moment. You feel...
Mm-hmm.
who you are in this moment, and in that experience you go forward. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell, much more than that, but, you know, in a nutshell.
Why do mantras and breath work?
Well, you know, average person breathes about 16 times per minute. So if you're just living your life, you take about 16 breaths per minute. And mantra, the word mantra means projection of the mind. So we're dealing with sound current, and I found that in talking to people that sometimes there's a person, well, not sometimes, actually all the time, we are this whole universe that contains everything, and some of the thoughts that we have or feelings that we walk around with haven't become verbalized and haven't become manifest because no one has asked us a question. In other words, a person may have never thought of something, and you ask them a question, and for the first time they think of that question, and they discover the answer within themselves. And when the moment they express it, there's a realization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one way that the mind works. Well, the breath, through meditation and mantra, you can change your whole breathing pattern to change the whole frequency of your mental patterns. And that's when you introduce mantra, and then you can have a different effect and bring you to a new altered state.
That's awesome. You know, when you were talking to me about your life empowerment program,
yes.
You know, you were talking about something which I think we should mention for our listeners because it's something that they can adopt right now and change their life in the next 2 days.
He's back.
And you're back, Don?
Well, yeah, I just had to completely destroy and take away and ruin the energy like I did last time when I got off to to do my job and get the next guest on the other station.
Right.
But well, it needed to be done, and I apologize, but I don't have
right.
an employee
that's
here
all,
on the weekends.
Wait a second. Be quiet. Don't destroy the energy coming back. Just hook into our flow, which is, I was just about to talk.
You were about to talk, weren't you?
Well, I was about to...
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruin that flow. All right, go ahead. Go, man.
I was about to have Tara share, like, an interesting thing that he talked about. He was... we were sitting in his living room, and he was pointing to some of the electrical devices in his home and saying, even though they're off, they draw a slight bit of current, and that everyone has all these electrical devices that are drawing current when they're off. And he made an analogy that we all have junk or physical objects that are similar to that, that draw our subconscious energies, things we don't use anymore, but that are in our space that we own, and that having all those things can totally destroy our ability to be in the present and be unencumbered energetically. And so you talk a little bit more about that yourself, Tara, because I thought
very well. I call them phantom loads, and our house here is it's solar, it's photovoltaic. So we have the sun collects energy and directs it into a reservoir of batteries, and then the batteries, that DC current changes it to AC current, and then we have our lights and everything. Well, the phantom loads are the televisions, other things that are turned off, but they're still on, and they draw energy. So in our life, there's procrastination, there's clothing that doesn't fit, there's a whole list of things. There's, when we were talking about mantras, there's all those little subconscious things that people, the way that they talk. For instance, I was with an attorney one time, a long time ago, and I was asking me questions, and I, for a moment, I said, well, to tell you the truth, blah, 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 blah. He says, whoa, Tara, let me tell you. What you just implied is that everything you said for the last half hour wasn't the truth, and you're making an exception in this moment, and now at this point you're going to tell me the truth. I went, wow, well, I've been telling you the truth the whole time, but I found that little mantra, that little subconscious pattern that was a phantom load, right? And you've probably heard it. Sometimes somebody will reach over and, you know, grab a pen that's in front of you, and they say, oh, I'm going to steal your pen. Well, of course they're not stealing your pen. They can use it anytime they want, and they're going to just use it. And so that's an untruth again. So in our subconscious, we have all these little mantras that are just pre-programmed. That's one thing that if we, in meditation, we want to find those and change the way we talk and say things. That's one thing. And with Light Vision Empowerment, we really go right down to this home to find out what are they procrastinating about, what's the most important thing in their life? What's the something that they can do that will make the world a better place? And, you know, in through a series of questions and meditations and practice, we can extract perhaps something close to what a person's highest destiny is, or maybe they'll even verbalize that. And once we've done that, once that's been projected and said and spoken, then the support group comes in so that we can now have that relationship with that person. And that's what at Dharma Ridge that we really love to do. Our intention is to discover the highest destiny of every person that comes onto the property, every person that we meet, and to have our new friendship, our new relationship with that aspect of the person. So we want to have a loving, positive, empowering relationship.
I love that. In fact, you know what gets me? The fact that just towards the tail end, actually wanting to pick out their highest destiny, or in other words, find the totem, right? You know, like many tribal cultures and cultures in the past of all forms have always tried to do. In fact, I think that's kind of healthy. What sort of things have you found? Like, let's say, do you only do this for people about to enter the community, or just about anyone? And when you find it, what do you say to the guy or the woman?
Well, it's in all walks of life. I think what happens to all of us that live here, there's this new characteristic in our personality, and the love that we carry in our hearts and the strength that we carry in our own practice and our relationship with the universe, with the Creator. I think anywhere that any of us go, we resonate that. We carry that. We hold that space where we live, and we carry that with us wherever we go. And there's everything under the sun. I mean, at one point in part of developing this, I interviewed people from farm workers to attorneys, and through a series of questions, everyone that I talked to came up with an answer. And perhaps the farm worker or the guy that's painting the lines on the highway, that's not what his chosen path is. So, you know, we're all doing what we have to do to make things work, but everything is there to build up.
I think, sorry about that, I think that's Wynn's cell phone. Winfrey is using his cell phone.
What's the matter, Don?
Is your cell phone okay, or we...
Yeah, my cell phone's fine.
Silence. Wow, yeah, I guess now it is. Okay.
Can you hear me, Don?
I can hear you. Do we have our guest, Tara?
I'm still here. I'm here.
Excellent, excellent.
We're all here.
All right. Keep that phone steady, man. Keep it steady.
We haven't moved a thing, Don.
No, but don't move your hand too much.
Okay.
Thanks. Tara.
Yes.
Back to you.
Yes.
And thank you. Hey, you never know, folks. This is the Don and Wynn Show. It sometimes even confuses me.
You know, we have Doug listening tonight, Don.
Excellent.
And, you know, Doug is always our greatest critic.
Oh, yeah. Half the time, most of the emails he sends me, Don, your show sucked.
Every night after the show, he says it sucked.
Well, not every night.
No. You guys were boring. You were fighting all night, that night. So, and I invited Doug to call in if he wants to. You know, he's on a first date with somebody, and I said, what would be a better way to impress your first date than have her on the Don and Wynn Show?
Oh, right? You know that's not going to happen, folks.
Now Doug is listening to me, and he's probably saying, oh, my God, what did I tell that to Wynn for? Doug is Don's brother. He has a twin brother, and they're both really, really, really amazing people. And but let's go back to Tara.
Well, thank you.
I want to go back to your conscious communities. Have you actually duplicated yourself? I mean, do you have a community that you have been responsible for organizing, selling the property, helping to train or share what you've done with someone else, and they've made it work?
Well, we're just putting a program together called New Paradigm Communities right now, and that's something that we're working on. I've worked as a realtor, putting communities, bringing the aspects of what a community needs in purchasing property. I have my background in land use, and so I facilitated in that way many times with just real estate transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone to different meetings and have shared approaches and information that are to help build communities. But this is pretty much the living one, working one that we have. And our big project is that we're working towards is through Sustainable Exchange of the Empowerment Cafe. The Empowerment Cafe is really an outreach of what's in our heart at Dharma Ridge and what we're living with. The Empowerment Cafe is really unique, and it's something that will, I think it probably can spread all across the country and really be an atmosphere for a lot of spiritual growth and making all communities better. So that's the project that we're working on. It's on the table right now. We're still putting a business plan together for it.
So putting together something that could be franchised.
Starbucks. Yeah, somewhere. Maybe we have to coin a new word for it.
Well, that was an interesting word that Wynn chose when he let off. He said, so are you through duplicating yourself? Do you remember that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Those were the exact words you chose. Interesting that you'd use those words. And now he was then moving into franchising. The consciousness communities, right?
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. You know, every community and every group of people is absolutely unique, so it's...
Why not franchise them, right? No, actually, so tell me more. So why do you want to franchise this?
Well, with the Empowerment Cafe, every community, whether a person uses the, you know, has a spiritual dialogue or a language that, you know, talks about God or creator...
So you want to start up like a coffee shop chain?
Well, it's an Empowerment Cafe, and the Empowerment Cafe has a unique business profile to it.
No, I mean, you don't need to go into that. You want to stay out of the proprietary information on how you're going to develop it, but...
What's unique about it, though, it's an atmosphere where people can express and experience what their life passion is, the passion that is connected to them to making the world a better place. So it's a unique incubator for...
Interesting. You might want to check into this. Years ago... when my brother and I had first started into business, we had a lovely, lovely secretary working with us, and her sister actually started working for us after the first sister. I guess we paid her too much at the time because she opened up a coffee shop. And in 6 months, you know, did it so well that she paid for herself to go with her husband a couple months to Europe, and it was just beautiful. But it was called the Blue Monkey.
Great. What city was that in, Don?
I was in White Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then she had this neon sign of a blue monkey outside, and it was similar, you know, it was just beautiful little place, but I'd always thought of doing something similar and tying it in with the internet. Of course, that became so old so fast that I'd still had always dreamed of opening up coffee shops where people could come together of like mind, and really spread the joy. And talk with and amongst each other about the community and development, and you know, because our governmental sects and all the different forms and variations of them are really starting to crash and tumble down because they're not working for the people. So
can
it's kind of
a chain of coffee shops where BBS radio was playing and everyone.
Well, I think that's a given.
Mm-hmm.
I already see that. That's already there. It's just who's going to be the one to do it. But it's already been done. I'm just trying to figure out who's walking into that destiny.
Instead of a jukebox, there would be a little box that says Station 1, Station 2, Station 3, Station 4 at each table.
Right. You could even phone each other up and say, I'm from Table 6 and I love you.
Well, one of the unique things about the Empowerment Cafe is that we'll be giving 75% of the net profit away every month for projects that people present and are juried in.
You know, I really find that phenomenal. You know, you're really, wow. You know, it goes to show you that there are many more me's out there than I am.
We're all you, Don.
Exactly. Welcome home, my friend. Don't you get it yet? You're me.
I'll tell you something a little funny. It's a little off topic, but it fits in. And that is, you know, in writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, we introduced this group soul that identifies itself by the name Ra. And that this group soul is actually able to work with individuals in a very personal way if they can tap into their energy and ask for their help. And one of the ways they do it is through dream messages or just kind of subconscious things. And I happen to have a friend who has Alzheimer's and who has read my book and was kind of a skeptic. And he started reading me some of his poems that he's written and some of his writings. And while he was reading it, I said, John, you know, that sounds like you're channeling. He says, oh, you're taking the credit away from me and giving it to someone else. And then he goes reading it again. In the middle of what he was reading, he comes up with a sentence which was, like, out of context from everything else, and it was, I'm not Ra unless you are too.
You know, see, interesting. Funny, I find myself picking those beautiful things, sentences people say out of their words everywhere I go now.
Well, he doesn't even think of Ra. And, I mean, I don't even think, if I asked him who's Ra, his Alzheimer's mind would say, what are you talking about?
Alzheimer's. Well, you know, again, Tara, right?
Yep.
Tara. You know, that goes back to, what do you think's occurring? I mean, with the group consciousness working with you, which we had all aspire to, which, of course, even, well, in one way or another, but because we're all one, but with that sort of situation going on, you kind of must have a fairly good idea of what you think the natural process of ascension will be. Now, notice how I added natural, because, folks, those people that don't put the word natural on next to ascension, I think give it a pretty interesting flavor. So I just have now started to do that, just out of personal flavor. But what do you think's going on?
Well, you know, we use this body and we have this body, and we're spending daily, I think, in our meditations and prayers and I don't know how it's all going to unfold. There's a lot of theories, and I'm experiencing.
But what do you think? What do you feel? What do you feel? I mean, I'm not putting you on the spot. You don't have to answer the question. I could tell you how I feel and how a lot of people feel, and I could tell you all the millions of ways. Well, I couldn't tell you. It'd take forever. But I could tell you all the ways that are chief and important to the most I've talked to is what they feel is going on. So I'm just curious as to what you and maybe your group feel is going on. In a general,
John, let me interject something here.
Yeah.
Is that when we were talking and we were at Taurus, the word ascension, I don't think is a word, I don't think that he had...
Well, let him answer. I'm just curious.
Well, I can tell you this, that what, like the veil is being lifted, and all of our intuitive powers are becoming just more normally accepted and experienced, and, you know, seeing into other worlds is just more common. It's not like a big rush where you're blind and all of a sudden...
Right, it's gradual.
The blinder is removed and there's just nothing but light and colors. Because of the life that we're living in the intuitive states that we're sharing and growing in the psyche that we're developing because of the sacredness that we're living with, everyday life is pretty cosmic. And, you know, we're doing business and, you know, carrying on through the world as everyone else, but there's just an added tone of consciousness to everything, and we're just becoming more and more aware and awake, and it just seems like the veils are being uplifted and disappearing, and that's an ascension that's pretty powerful in the everyday life that we're living. So it's not a big rush or a big, you know, we're not going from one state to another state. It's more...
Well, we are.
But it's an expansion. It's organic. It's an organic feeling that's developing. In deep meditation, there's incredible contacts that you make, and there's worlds upon worlds that doors open up, and incredible spirit that you're in contact with.
Yeah,
that's something that we're all sharing. All
well, thank you. I adhere to that. I agree. I think we're in I would almost term it an evolutionary spike. Because it's not only gradual, but it's way beyond gradual. I mean, we're in an evolutionary spike, spiritual spike or the ascension process, but it's gradual enough that it's not going to knock us for any loops. It's never going to be more than you can handle, but it is stepped up a speed that's because, you're ready for it. Everybody who's ready for it is, and I think that we're, proceeding through that fairly quickly. I think this is there's fairly steady timelines attached to it because everything in our history is always pointed to various timelines. So and now we're into a situation where it's highly excited. And so the changes, I think, are wondrous. I mean, I think people are becoming very intuitive. I think all people are starting to feel their own little healing abilities, even when it comes to themselves, if they're with it. By now, they've probably got a fairly good handle on it, and if they don't, they're seeking. They're out there seeking answers, and they'll find them. But it's a highly excited state.
Well, we're experiencing a whole new paradigm in thinking and living. And so in our small community and the extended community that we live in, it's expansive. It's amazing, the consciousness that's shared, the love, the truth. I mean, the music that people are listening to, what they're attracted to, just on and on and on. It's pretty darn amazing.
I love it. You know, I would love to take, if I ever get out of here again, I'd love to come up and meet you. I really would. It would, if you'd ever have me, I'd love to come up and meet you. Only because that was a dream of mine. And I just love the fact, that's why I love James Gilliland so much, because he has the Aseti.org, the Aseti Ranch, which is a sanctuary, and, you know, people that actually build sanctuaries to house others where people can come together and feel and express the love that our, you know, many great leaders haven't allowed to be manifested and exercised for a long time. It's just, it's such a beauty to see. Thank you.
Well, one of the things that, you know, Charlie, who also lives at Dharma Ridge, just mentioned, is that we're really becoming conscious of subconscious information. And that's what's unfolding every day for
Bingo.
All of us.
Isn't that interesting? Yes. Well said. I've never heard someone put it that way before, but that would almost be magically the right way to put it.
One of the things about Dharma Ridge.
It's a real organic process.
Yeah.
The people in Dharma Ridge, people that are staying.
Your cell phone's going a little weird.
Can you hear me now, Don?
Yeah.
I had the mic over my head, sorry.
Yeah.
One of the things about Dharma Ridge is that the people are all very individual. It's not a bunch of, you might think of a community. If somebody told me, use the word, they're doing a community, I'd think that everyone is thinking the same thing, they're following the same spiritual thing.
That's what you think first, really?
But well, sometimes.
I guess they give you that mentality when you read about communities and things. Yeah. That's hoping. You know, they do that in the news and the media and all that, but communities are completely different than that. In Europe, there's like lots of them.
But the people that are staying there are very, very, they're strong people. They all have their own individuality.
Sure.
They're doing their own thing. There's a lawyer. There's a woman that organizes shows for her partner. I mean,
now we do got to call in the light because we have about 2.5 minutes. I just wanted to interject.
So, Tara,
yes.
What we do is we do a calling in of the light at the end of our show.
Okay.
And would you like to join us for that?
I'd love to.
Thank you.
Kind of like we did this actually when I was over at Tara's home, and we did it before dinner with everyone there. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, Tara, Don, and myself, and each one of you who is listening, wherever you are around the world right now, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. Right now, we see ourselves in the flow of energy, the unified field energy that's radiating from the center of our universe to the center of our galaxy, through our solar system, through the energy fields of the Earth, through our body, and into the center of the Earth. And we send special love now to the Earth, which has been fairly well trashed by humanity for a long time. And we join our energies together as a group energy. And we invite those positive group energies also in the invisible realms to join with us. All those energies that are operating in what I call the Christed energy, service to others, that are wanting to help us, and that we are their vehicle into this realm in terms of bringing positive energy into the space. So we now have this huge light energy that we are creating right in this moment all over our planet, with all our listeners, and we send this light energy to those places where it's not, where it's dark. We send it to the Middle East. We send it to Washington. We send it to all the cities of the United States, the people that are impoverished, the people that are desperate, the people that are hurting, the people in pain. We just send this energy to them right in this moment. We send it to ourselves. We bring it into our own homes. We radiate it out to our families, to our friends, to our jobs. And that no matter what you're doing in your life, you have the opportunity to tap into this energy and uplift your life exactly as it is. You don't have to go somewhere else. You can be in the center of it and be part of the team that's here to uplift this vibration on our planet. And on that note, We thank you all for listening. We send our special love to Don's mother, Hildy. Hi, Hildy. Tara, would you like to say your website once more for people that are interested in following up?
Sure. We have dharmaridge.com, and then my personal website is lifevisionempowerment.com, and then our community outreach website is sustainablenetwork.tv.
Okay, and if someone is out there that's interested in working with Tara on his cafe, he's open to hearing from you. Check in on his website, and you'll find a way to contact him. Don, thank you for being my co-host and me being your co-host tonight. And we'll see you next week for another night of the Don and Wynn Show.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much, everybody. And we're going to get the next program on. Actually, it's going to be a change up here tonight. You're going to be listening to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. So that's coming up next. Sit back and enjoy. And thank you for tuning in to BBS Radio.
I love you.